You're listening to A Conduit's Diary, a podcast by me, Rachel, about my life as a conduit. These stories do have cuss words, so be sure to keep the little ears away. And also like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Happy Halloween. I was initially going to name this episode Tricked for Treats, but as you'll see, it wasn't quite as fitting. So here's episode 50, The Nevermen. I was 7 the first time I heard the knocking. 3 short knocks on the door. We'd finished trick-or-treating hours ago and sat over our spoils. Stephanie was at the kitchen table, sorting through her pile. She always separated the candies the moment she got home, first into chocolate, gummy, and non-edible piles, then further divided them based on merits. There was the chocolate nut pile, the chocolate crunch pile, and of course the will stick to her braces so she won't even look at it pile. I was less discriminate, digging into the candies and eating anything and everything delicious. Our mother sat in the old recliner in the living room, her gaze trained on the door in anticipation. When the knocks came, she didn't so much as flinch. Stephanie stood to answer the door when Mother stopped her. "Stephanie, let it be," she said. "Go back to your sorting." "But what if it's last-minute trick-or-treaters?" she asked, frowning. "It's not," Mother said.
"But what if it is? They should have candy too. Everyone should have candy."
"It's not," Mother repeated, harsher this time. She made it clear there was no room for argument. The knocks didn't come again, and eventually Stephanie and I fell asleep in our candy comas. When I was 8, the knock sounded again. Well past a reasonable hour to trick or treat, an hour late enough that we were about to head to bed. Again, Stephanie turned toward the noise, moving to answer the door. "No, Stephanie," Mother said, her hand resting on Stephanie's shoulder. "Let it be."
"But Mom,"
she protested, unable to keep the whine from her voice.
"Maybe they want candy. We have plenty left."
By now, Stephanie had changed her candy habits completely, having been bullied by some girls in her class. She was adamant that we get rid of any and all candy in the household, lest she be tempted to eat it. "They don't want candy," she said, ushering us to bed. It was another 2 years before I asked. 2 years of listening to the 3 short knocks, of Mother sitting and watching the door like she knew they'd come. 2 years of never answering. By 10, I honed enough on my conduit skills to be able to feel the paranormal as well as see it. Just before the knocks came, the hair on the back of my arm stood up and I felt the telltale prickle on my spine of something not of this world nearby. The knocks came just then, 3 solid, short sounds. "Who are they?" I asked Mother, my eyes locked on the door. I could feel more than see the presence on the other side, towering, impossible, wanting. "It's not a who, it's a what," Mother said, reaching out to usher me to bed. "It's a sign it's well past your bedtime," she added. Stephanie no longer trick-or-treated, and instead spent the night at a friend's house for a Halloween sleepover. "No," I told her, stubbornly digging in my heels. "No," she echoed, quirking in a single eyebrow. "No, I want to know," I said. I'd embraced my ability as a conduit. I wanted to be just like my mother, helping people, knowing things, seeing things. I wanted it all, and I wasn't going to shy away from it. "Fine," she said, taking my hand and leading me to bed. She tucked me in as if I were still a child, and I let her, waiting for the story. On the night of Halloween, the night of Samhain, the night of All Hallows' Eve, the veil between us and them is the thinnest. Many use this as a time to visit members of their family or just to see what we're up to. These spirits are gentle. "Like when someone's mom or dad watches them?" I asked. She nodded and folded the edges of the covers around me. "Yes, like that. The barrier is weak, so they come and go.
Some cultures use it as a time to celebrate those who've gone. It's mostly good. It's mostly wonderful, actually. But like all things in life, there is a balance. There is a good and a bad, an up and a down. In order to have light, you must have dark. And so there are those, some spirits, who use this time for nefarious reasons. There's an old saying in our family, when the door knocks three, who answers? Not we. Three knocks on the door this late on a night like this, it can only be the Nevermen. The Nevermen are not men, at least not the way we understand men. They're hollow vessels, more of an absence than a thing. They're a void, and they're looking for something to fill the void. Some want a soul, some want a body, others just want terror, destruction. They pervert the beauty of a day like this and use our customs to try and trick us. See, when you answer the door to your home, you're opening the door to what they want. If they want to enter your house, now they can. If they want to enter your soul, they can do that too. It's an acknowledgement of their intention. So, if you open the door, you let them in? I asked, genuinely terrified. It's such a simple motion, opening a door. What's to stop them from other ways of entry, like answering the phone, opening a letter? It's just a step, Rachel, an important step, but a step nonetheless. You'll soon learn that it's easier to prevent than to remove. If you never open the door, they can't come inside. Once they're inside, they dig and burrow and bury until they can't be differentiated from their host. Have you ever met a Neverman? I asked, feeling my eyelids grow heavy. There was something soothing about her bedtime stories. I have, she said, resting her hands in her lap. I'll tell you about the Neverman I met, but first, you have to promise me you'll never answer the door. Promise, I said. Good, she smiled, settling back against the headboard. Jenica was a young mother the Halloween the Nevermen found her. Her daughter was too young to understand trick-or-treating, so she dressed her up as a green bean and handed out candy instead. When the clock struck 10, the neighborhood was empty, and Jenica was about to head to bed when she heard the knocks. Three knocks on the door. She figured it was a late group of kids and happily answered the door. But it wasn't. On the other side of the door was a man bathed in shadow. She could only see his outline. Can I help you? She asked, now well aware that she should have not opened the door to begin with. The man was unsettling. The air around him was cold and made the hair on the back of her neck stand up. Yes, he said, his voice so quiet she had to lean forward to hear it. She waited, thinking he would say more, but he didn't. He just slunk away into the night, his form shifting under the streetlights as he moved. One moment he was tall, then short, then something else entirely. She chalked it up to being a young mother, exhausted from her first Halloween. Thinking nothing of it, she continued her nighttime routine of putting her baby to bed. Just as she was about to settle down herself, she heard the knocks again. She was annoyed. So she ignored it. It was far too late in the night for any reasonable person to knock. She settled into bed and slept a dreamless sleep. The next morning, she was making breakfast when the knock came again. This knock unsettled her. It wasn't coming from the front door. It was closer. A knock on the closed door between her living room and kitchen. She called out to her husband, thinking he was playing a trick on her. John? She yelled. He answered her from the guest bathroom, the opposite part of the house of the knock. She grabbed her baby and ran to the bathroom, dragging her husband out. He investigated and found no one there. The living room was empty. The doors were locked. But it kept happening. Sometimes she'd be almost asleep. Sometimes she was in the kitchen, but it was the same. On the door between the living room and the kitchen. One morning, she grew bold and threw the door open when the knocks happened. John never seemed to hear them, but he investigated them all the same. She couldn't sit still anymore. She had to do something. When she flung the door open, there the man stood, dressed in shadow despite it being midday and bright, his outline fuzzy. Just as quickly as he appeared, he disappeared, leaving her to wonder if she even saw him at all. Every time, the knocks came closer. Now it was a knock on her bedroom door. She knew not to open the door now, because it just led him closer and closer. She could see him from time to time out of the corner of her eye. He was very interested in her husband. She'd see him leaning over John, his shadowy fingers outstretched to touch his shoulder. Once he caught sight of Jenica, he'd disappear. At first. Then he became bold, showing up and hanging out for longer periods of time. She noted John was changing too. He spoke with a weird accent he'd never used before, and he would talk about events that happened decades before he was born, as if he were there. Jenica watched her husband change over the course of a few weeks to someone she didn't recognize. When she looked at John, she only saw the shadow. "What did it want?" I asked, fighting off sleep. "It wanted a body, and it found that in John," Mother said, smoothing my hair off my face. "So she called you?" I asked. "She did," Mother confirmed. "She found me through a series of ads, went through a few different places to try to find someone. At one point, her family threatened to have her hospitalized against her will. They claimed she had postpartum depression and that the stress of being a new mother made her see things that weren't really there." "But you believed her," I said proudly. "I did, once she was cleared by a medical professional. Our proximity to the other side makes us hyper-focused sometimes. We forget that the human mind is complex. Sometimes this attracts the other side, sometimes it repels them. There is a long history of women being ignored, often while trying to get help. They're ignored sometimes at the expense of their own life. I believed her, but I also made sure she had resources." She started to stand, and I reached out to grab her wrist. "Wait, what happened?" I asked. She sighed and settled back onto the bed. "We did a lot of things. We had to be careful, because the Neverman knew what I was. He knew his time was limited. We started by placing items around the house to weaken his hold. We put things in his coffee to try to separate them. We did everything we could. But it was too late." "It was too late?" I echoed, sitting up in bed. "Yes, love," Mother said, standing once more. "They're called the Nevermen for a reason. They never leave." I think back to that night now and wonder about Jenica. Mother never brought it up again, and every Halloween we waited and watched the door for the three knocks. Every year they came, almost like a taunt. I wonder now if it's the same Nevermen come to goad that they beat my mother. Sometimes I wonder if anyone else hears the knocks every year like me, if they pick a family or a person. Is it opportunistic? A knock, a haunting, just because you were home? Because you answered the door? What are they looking for? A Conduit's Diary is created by me, written and produced by me, mixed horribly and edited by me. Cover art created by BMC Design on Fiverr. Music, intro and outro, created by Chris Hornberger.